C1A, number 27B.
Well, these may be worse, and they are worse, but let them be near to us, tangible to us, warm to us. Then they are more than worse. Then the letter and the series atone and are reconciled. I like always what John said. I don't know if I have it right here. You know, sometimes when John Dolley ended his talk, I'm not going to end it yet, there's still enough time. But when he sometimes ended his talk, you see, it's quite interesting to see how often he pointed out that what he asked is not so much to study. We have stressed the study very much, thank God. First, we had to have our instruments. But then, when he ended the talk, he usually focused on spirit and not on mind. For instance, he would say that at the end of the third verbatim report, that, so let this story be warm to you. He didn't say study, let it be warm to you. Let it have form, let it have identity, let it be close to you. See the nearness of it, the mother, the woman sense, the conceptive sense of it. Let it be close to you. Don't try to get it with your brain. Don't try to get it, let it get you. See, that's the conceptive sense. Love it, see, love it. That's the warmth of it, the worship of it. It will get you, if you love it. If you love spiritual things, and spiritual things must be ordered, he said, if you long for them, they will get you. And when they get you, you will be imbibing the spirit. You see, he gave the method, but perhaps not always did take proper notice of it. And perhaps it was quite right that we didn't, because first must come the study of it. The letter must be clear. Let's have the letter clear and exact. But that's only the standpoint of mind. Let's be a Mary. Let's conceive of it. Let's give it birth. Then it gets us. Then soul comes and says, now I speak to you. See? The moment we have the birth, then soul comes and says, all right, now I take over. I speak now in you. Then the representative of soul begins to speak in us, and he begins to speak divinely in us, and begins to testify divinely in us. And then we are off. And we are off. Then we are two years and more. And we are no more 2 years and yonder. And we are off. And just as the paragraph on obstetrics showed us, that then soul takes the lead and leads right through to the seventh stage up to love. By itself. There is no more shouldn't in it. I love the winter evening. I just love them. The longer they are, the nicer they are. Now we have another quarter of an hour. And we take the last subject, love is love, which you have on your page 18. Do you have it? All right. Now, here I try to find out, and you can verify, and if you don't agree with me. But try to see the tone in it. And it seems that the overtone of love which goes through it is that universality and Christianity, the universal Christianity, that atonement now here culminates in showing that atonement is not something which you and I, and perhaps somebody else, and some group of us, has to go through, but that it is a universal fact, and that the claim that love claims a universal salvation and a universal atonement. In other words, what we will witness here is what scientifically quite logic, namely that love says, I am all in all. Therefore, I am not going to rest until all is drawn to me, no matter on which continent and which religions and so on. I'm just science. I'm all and I draw all to me. I'm so impersonal that I don't rest until all is acknowledging me. It is just as mathematics would say, for instance, say, I am multiplication and therefore I don't rest until I see that all multiplications are my multiplication. But there is not one multiplication which is outside my multiplication. Because I am the principle of multiplication, I include all the multiplication. And therefore I don't rest until I see that all multiplications find their solution, their principle in me. And so it is with Christianity. Christianity isn't a doctrine of somebody. Christianity is not a phase in the development of culture. Christianity, as we understand here, it here is a principle. Is a principle, a universal principle, which says that fulfillment is fulfillment. And I don't trust until everybody and everything and every situation yields to fulfillment. And so draws everything to fulfillment. And as its subtone, because it's love as love, you see, the subtone is what makes this universal Christianity to be fulfilled and, as quickly and as harmoniously as possible. It is that sense of love, now we come to the relative sense of it, of accepting the Christianity, of accepting the plan of Christianity, of adhering and not rejecting the plan of Christianity. Love, you see, you get now love as the acceptance, of the welcoming of the plan of love. That's love as love. So I try to epitomize these two together and say it lies in the plan of love that atonement be accepted universally in its divinely Christian sense. Now, with some right, I can take these last two pages in 10 minutes, because when you read them through, you will see that they are really the picture, the promise of the future. It is all about that, showing that the acceptance of Christianity in full sense is inescapable, but that humanly or relatively, it is a matter of how quickly or of how intensely the human mind is willing to accept it through science instead of through suffering. And so the time element always enters in the moment that the divinity is projected on humanity. Then the time element comes in. And so it gives really a picture of the future. Or it is really, can you say, a postulation of how the law of Christianity must work out in the future. And it shows that, I leave out all my notes here now, it shows first that the true idea of God must be accepted as the basis of Christianity. Sometimes these epitomes just seem to say nothing. But when one goes into the text, they naturally become bigger and broader and deeper. What she says here is something very deep. Says, this true sense of Christianity, a fulfilled sense of Christianity, will never be demonstrated until first the world begins to accept that there is just one true sense of God. There is one true sense of God. All must sooner or later plant themselves in Christ the true idea of God. And then comes how Jesus' whole effort was pour this true idea of God into the human, the dear brought treasure in empty and sinful human storehouses. See, we can see so clear that this is true. How on earth will ever true Christianity be accepted before first we start with mind, before one first accepts what is the true idea of God? Before the world doesn't ask this question and doesn't accept that there is an answer to this question. Because up to now the world doesn't accept that there is an answer to this question. It says we cannot know God. So we can see how Christianity will be brought to fulfillment. And we can therefore see where our efforts must lie. First, we must see that there is a true idea of God, and that we can know this true idea of God. And then with the fullness of that, just go on and hammer it in into the empty human storehouse, into that emptiness which says there is no God, or which says there is a God, but you can't know him. He is the unknowable, the unknown God. Then, having had that, having seen, she shows now the way, you see, having seen what that we must start first with that fullness of recognition that there is a true idea of God, then she comes and says, but that is not enough. Then you have to show the worth. Then the world has to drink the cup of bitterness. Then the world has to show the worthwhileness of this idea of God. Then it is that the earthly cup of bitterness was drained to the dregs. There adhered to him only a few unpretentious friends whose religion was something more than a name. It was so vital. But it enables them to understand. See, if we had more time, I would like you to show through many paragraphs here in this chapter how Nichiren says that understanding, real understanding of spiritual is something which doesn't happen in thought, but that it is something which grows out of deep felt experience. Here again she says, only through drinking this cup, and history has reaffirmed this prediction, that only through drinking the cup, only by showing our the worthwhileness of what this idea of God is, through experience, through drinking the cup, through valuing it above everything, through being willing to sacrifice everything for this substance, we begin to understand it. Before, we only know God, but then we understand. And as we understand him, she says, comes the third tone of love of soul here, which says, yes, and in this endeavor to know God and to put all we have into the search of God and drink the cup, we must always keep our eye right on the ball. We must accept Christianity as Christianity is, in its genuineness, in its originality, in its integrity, unaffected by theological views. He says, because what today we are professing to be Christianity is not the original, the genuine sense of Christianity. We have diverged from it. It is a distorted sense of Christianity. And so he goes on and says, well, the genuine sense of Christianity is a demonstrable principle. So he comes to principle, says it's a demonstrable principle, and therefore we cannot leave out the essential factors of a principle, namely that it is demonstrable, that it is a curative principle. And to show quite right that theology leaves out this essential factor of Christianity, and therefore is not genuine. And as life shows that we must accept that this Christianity is constantly fathering the universe. We must acknowledge what it has done and is doing for mankind since then. That we must see that it is sweeping down the centuries. That this Christianity is living. It isn't dead. Most people say, well, religion is dead. Yes, that may be. But Christianity can never be dead. Christianity which didn't start with Jesus. Christianity which has its origin in Christ and not in Jesus. Christianity is the outflow for Christ, not the outflow of Jesus. That Christianity which has its origin in Christ is sweeping down the century. It is that which has brought about the evolution of the world, which has brought us out of the mud and dirt of the first years back, 2 million or 2 billion years back, see, and brought us out of the mud and the little tiny creeping crawly things, and has developed something. It is sweeping down the centuries. It is by itself living. It is not dependent if we make it live or doesn't want to make it live. If we want to have it dead or we think it is dead. Christianity is life by itself, independent of us, and sweeping down the centuries and working and working and working and working on the universe. But we help this atonement. We help to see it in even in the human, translated to the human face, if we begin to see that something is at work. But she also shows then in truth that as we lay our earthly altar on the altar of divine science, then we drink of Christ's cup, no more the cup of bitterness which we had before. We drink of Christ's cup, and we are endued with the spirit and power of Christian healing. You see again, I like to see that over and over again since we started with prayer, that the healing power of truth is not something which we can get in some way. The healing power of truth is only through the grace of the order of the world. By going through the order of the world is given to us. Always when we come to truth, she speaks about the healing power. We already had it in the sixth subject in prayer. There she spoke about healing. But how did he get there? So the first five tones. We can't take Christ's garment and put it on without going the way to the Christ. That's something which we have to realize more and more, more and more, more and more. Because the whole Christian Science movement still stays in the chapter on prayer. They haven't come any step further. The Christian Science movement doesn't think of accepting atonement and Eucharist. They only read it. They don't think to accept atonement and Eucharist. They wouldn't like the idea to lay down the mortal. They like to profit up and have as much money around that mortal and about the church as possible. It's a church of gold, not the church of laying down the mortal. But over and over, you can, even only if you take those two first chapters, you can look for the law that is given there. The law is that the Christ garment is only put on after life, after having laid the earthly all on the altar of signs. Then the human dirt in us has gone. Then that whole old mortal is out of the way. Then the Christ can shine through. Then we are endowed with the spirit and power of the Christ. And lastly, he says, in the words of St. John, he shall give you another comfort. Now we have it. Now we have it. And he may abide with you forever. Jesus only abode for a few years. In Jesus' time, the Savior came as a man Jesus. He stayed for a few years. Today, the Savior comes as the signs of Christ, and that stays forever. That's why Mrs. Eddy was quite right to value signs, divine signs, the discovery of signs as a bigger and mightier happening than the birth of Jesus. And that's why Jesus was so conscious of that fact that he said, I shall send you another comforter, and he shall teach you all truth. And he was already knowing that a bigger form of the Christ will have to come, and is coming, and it shall abide with us forever. Well, that's the end of the chapter on Atonement and Eucharist. See, it starts with that wonderful statement that atonement exemplifies man's unity with God, whereby man reflects divine truth, life, and love. It's a statement. But the whole chapter begins now to lead the way to this unity of man and God, and shows it as a science, as an ordered process. And we begin to see more and more why John Dolan put so much stress on in beauty, grander order, and why he said that he distrusts everybody who is not ordered, and that only order can bring birth. So the more we begin to see the flow of the story, and not so much the meaning of a sense or the meaning of a verb or of a term, but the more we begin to see the flow of the whole chapter, and the flow from one chapter to the other, and the more then we are Mary and try to give birth to that flow, the more the child in us grows, takes over, and speaks for ourselves. Well, we must stop here.